Hello listeners and welcome to the first of two Sportspiel Judo specials. Ahead of the European Championships, we have already heard on episode 22 from Sally Conway, but in these back-to-back episodes, we are joined by two Commonwealth champions, Natalie Powell and Nakoda Smythe-Davis. Tomorrow, we will hear from Nakoda, but on this episode that you're currently listening to, I chat with Welsh judoka Natalie Powell, who last year became the first British female to be ranked number one in the world. In our chat, Natalie gives us an insight into her judo journey, including the highs of winning medals, but also the lows. She tells us just how she approaches competitions mentally, and there is a nod to the upcoming European Championships, which begin on April 26th. So with that, we hope you enjoy the first of our two-part specials. It is that time again where we get to welcome on and chat to another sporting star, and I'm delighted to say that on this occasion we are joined by a Commonwealth gold medalist and someone who was the first British female to be ranked at world number one in judo. It is a very warm welcome to Natalie Powell. Welcome to the show, Natalie. How are you?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, all good, thanks. So let's start at the very beginning then of your judo journey. How did you sort of find yourself get into the sport in the first place, and what hooked you?
I got into it when I was about 8 years old. A few of my classmates in primary school were doing judo, and I think at home I liked to fight all the time, so my mum was like, "Oh, we're going to take you along." And I never gave up. My friends kind of quit really pretty quickly, and I just stuck in it really.
So, I mean, you say you kind of fought a lot at home. Is that kind of a natural personality thing that made you kind of quite good at it?
I don't know. When I was a kid, I was quite aggressive and very, very competitive. And I think as I've got older, I've become far more laid back. But at the time, yeah, I was pretty outdoorsy. I wanted to be involved with everything, really.
Mm-hmm. And kind of growing up in Wales as well, is it common for people to do judo? And are there that many clubs to pick and choose from?
Where I'm from like near Beowulf Wells, and there's only one club in the area really. Yeah, the nearest one is maybe half hour away, so it's relatively close, but not particularly. So there's quite a few people doing judo, but I wouldn't say it's far from being the most popular sport in the area. Obviously rugby and football are way more popular. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
rugby I think probably still kind of dominates.
Yeah.
So at what point did judo kind of stop becoming this fun activity to do and become something competitive that you wanted to achieve at?
It was quite late, really. I think I've always done... My mum was really good as a kid. She took me around all the competitions. So I was competing like every other weekend, really, as a kid, and going, travelling about an hour each night for training most days of the week. So I did that all the way up until I went to uni when I was 18. And then when I was in Cardiff, I was training every night in the National Centre, but I wasn't full-time at that point. It was just before the London Games, maybe six months before London, and there was an opportunity for me to go into 78. So I thought, okay, I'm going to really give it a go now. And I started full-time training then, so it must have been about 21 when I properly went full-time and started time training two or three times a day. So not really that long in comparison to a lot of players. I started like really committing to it quite late, but I think it probably did me the world of good, really, because I did so many other sports up until that point. It gave me quite a good base. I did a lot of netball and athletics and tennis. So I think because I focused on judo so late, I think it probably made me a more rounded athlete, really.
Yeah, so you mentioned those other sports there. What kind of things are we talking about that you can draw from those sports and apply to judo?
I think just basic coordination skills and agility and strength. I think by doing a lot of different things, you don't get so bored either. You put more into them because you're enjoying them more. I think sometimes when people specialise really early, they become one-dimensional in that sport. And when they're thrown outside of that slightly, they're really useless in it, really. So yeah. I think that variety has really, really helped me physically all around.
Okay, so you're kind of the type of person where you need that variety and something a little bit different just to kind of keep your enthusiasm renewed over and over again?
Yeah, I think, yeah, definitely.
So kind of fast forwarding to now, and obviously you've got a number of accolades to your name right now. None more so than a nice shiny gold medal from the Glasgow 2014 Commonwealth Games. In terms of silverware, is that your career highlight, or is there some other things that you've got on a par with that?
The Commonwealth for me was probably like the breakthrough event for me, really. Is there one opportunity I get to fight for Wales? So since I'm a kid, I've always wanted to win the Commonwealth Games. I think being from Wales, that's drummed into your head more than the Olympics. So to get the Commonwealth Games from a personal point of view was incredible. But since then, like my European medals and world medal and world masters medals, the level of judo in those competitions was much higher, and they were far more difficult medals to get. So they all mean a lot to me. But if you look at the level of the competition, they're harder competitions.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, we've just finished up with Gold Coast 2018. Mm-hmm. Was it disappointing from your perspective that judo wasn't on the schedule this time around?
It was really disappointing. I think it was disappointing for judo in general in Wales. I think if judo had been in this Games, there would have been a lot more senior players still in Wales training. I know after the Glasgow, a lot of the players that maybe weren't looking at being on the British squad or going down the British pathway would have definitely stayed on to try and compete in the Commonwealth Games in this year if it had been in. So I think it was quite sad for judo in Wales, really. But it's really positive that it's going to be in the next Games, and from there on it'll be a core sport. So that's positive.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose when you see a sport like that on the mainstream, does that serve as a tremendous advert for the sport as well? Because it's not something that is put out in the public spotlight as often as some other sports are.
Yeah, definitely. I think netball's a really good example of this time with the England girls winning the Commonwealth Games. I'm sure that was going to do no end of good for netball across the country.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously you touched on it a moment ago. Representing Wales is obviously something kind of rare in that most of the time, I suppose, you're turning out with a British flag next to your name.
Yeah.
How different is it for you competing for Wales versus competing for Britain?
I'm obviously really proud to compete for both. I suppose I was Welsh. I've always been Welsh and I've always been British. But I think growing up in Wales, there's such a pride around being Welsh.
Mm-hmm.
So I think until I got onto the British team when I was about 20, the only thing I knew I was Welsh was Wales. So yeah, it's like a sort of pride you can't really define. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm equally as proud to represent both.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you mentioned the bronze medals you've got at World Championship level and the European medals you've also got to your name. But the other standout achievement, I suppose, that you've got is at the end of October 2017, you won gold in the Abu Dhabi Grand Slam, which made you world number one. And you were the first British female to do that. Was that always a goal of yours when you first set out?
Not when I first set out when I was a kid. And to be honest, like Olympics was never even in my head as a kid. It was always Commonwealth. But maybe I think probably the last 4 years to get to number one has always been at the forefront of my mind. It's something I really, really wanted to do. I didn't stay there for very long, but hopefully I can get back there and maybe try and do better than 6 weeks next time. But yeah, it's always been a goal of mine. So I was really happy to achieve that.
Exactly. And I think you're ranked third at the moment, if I'm right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
So when you got world number one status, what did that feel like at the time?
It was really a nice feeling. I was just really happy that I'd managed to do it. I think on the day, I wasn't going into the competition with any expectations. It wasn't on my mind, if I can win this competition, I'm going to be world number one. Even when I was fighting the final, it wasn't something that I was thinking about. So I think that probably put me in good stead. I think maybe if I'd been thinking about it in the lead up in the competition, I probably would have put too much stress on myself and it maybe wouldn't have happened. So yeah, the way things worked out, it was good.
In terms of the rankings, I know we always, say for tennis, for example, we always turn to them as a sign of and a marker of how good someone is. Is it as important in judo? Is it the same sort of seriousness taken with them?
Yeah, I would say so. Obviously, I would say judo is one of those sports that you could fight the same person 10 times and both win 5. It's so, like, it can be over in a split second. But generally, the rankings show the level of the players. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
So, as you've gone on to achieve the success, what has been the biggest challenge and the biggest sacrifices you've had to make?
Oh, biggest challenge. I think something that I really struggled with was, well, there's a couple of things. I know when I first left school, my education was far more important to me than judo. So balancing studies and judo, that was really difficult for a period. And another thing I struggled with, when I was younger, I got hit on the head a few times and I had a really bad reaction to it. Okay. And for months and months, they didn't know what was wrong with me. So I had to take a back seat from the sports. I think about, I had maybe 12 months out, because everyone was like, you can't go back on the mats, we don't know what's wrong with you. And it turned out to be migraines, a specific form of them. And that's something I've had to deal with a lot since, like taking medicine and keeping that under control. It's just like kind of a full-time thing. And it's a bit worrying at times. If it happens in a competition, it can really throw my day. And it has done a number of times. But I think I've got it controlled now. But that's been quite a challenging thing. That's been ongoing, really, for my whole career.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, something like that. I suppose when you first find out that you've got this issue, does that take a little bit of time for your brain to kind of switch off subconsciously and not hold back when you're competing?
Yeah, it was difficult for a long time because we've seen so many specialists and nobody knew what was, no, we didn't have any answers. So eventually when we got it sorted, I tried a few different coping strategies and different medicines to cope with it. And now we're on top of it. So yeah, no, it was hard at times, but got there in the end.
Yeah. So in terms of the treatment you have to take, is it primarily medication or are there other things that you have to kind of manage as well?
Yeah, medication, really.
So looking ahead to the future, and we're just a few days away from the start of the 2018 European Championships, how is preparation going for it at the moment?
It's been really good. I think since Paris, I've had a really good training block. We went out to Japan for a couple of weeks training, which was good. Managed to get a consistent block in with no little niggles and stuff. So at the beginning of the year, I wasn't consistently on the mat. So since Paris, it's been really good. I can't really complain on the preparation front, so just gotta hope it all comes together on the day now, really.
Exactly, yeah. So how easy is it preparing for something, for an event as big as that versus, I suppose, what would be considered your smaller event? And is there a bigger sense of anticipation ahead of it?
Yeah, there is. I kind of like it like that. I think when you really build up to something, I feel like I perform better because I've put all my energy and thought into that. I think sometimes when you're just competing week in, week out, you haven't got the same motivation and you don't prep as well because you're fighting so often. So I quite like the big event, really.
So that kind of energy is easy enough for you to thrive off of?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of tournament and competition are you expecting?
I've not really thought about it. It'd be tough. I'm just thinking about taking one fight at a time and focusing on what I'm going to do, really. There's quite a few girls in there that are going to be tough opponents, so I'm just going to focus on what I've got to do, really.
But the aim, of course, is medals, I imagine.
Yeah, for sure. I think I've just got to focus on the process, because when I start thinking about medals, I always goes wrong. So I'm just going to try and focus what I need to do.
Okay, so is that another key then as well, is not to kind of get ahead of yourself and just think, you know, in the immediate future?
Definitely. I think sometimes it's kind of easy to get caught up in the expectations of what other people think you should do, or like whenever people think you should be beating certain players, you can sometimes get into your head. But the thing is, it's all down to what happens on the day, really. I just got to make sure I turn up in the best place I possibly can and focus on what I've got to do.
Yeah, exactly. So, and whenever we get someone on who competes in what some people might determine as a niche sport, and there's a few people out there that probably class judo as that.
Yeah.
What is the state of judo in the country at the moment? Is it something that's really growing that you can see?
Do you know what? From like a grassroots level, I don't actually know the answer to that question, but I know at a performance level, the results that British Judo have been getting over the last cycle are better than we have done for a couple of cycles now. So I think the level at the top end is really improving. We've got a lot of depth in a lot of the weight categories, particularly in the women's at the moment. On their 57s, there's about three or four players that are on the world circuit, same 63s, 70s. Yeah, the depth of the performance players is really good at the moment, and it's better than I've known anyway. So at that level, it's doing good.
And being one of the, because there's a select few of you at the top of the rankings right now across a number of different weight categories.
Yeah.
Is being that figurehead and being someone who can really promote the sport something that's ever explained to you, or is it something that you take in your stride?
It's not so much explained to me. I think I try to be a good role model for everybody, that the younger players. I know when I was younger, I'd look up to the older players. I remember there's a guy called Gary Cole that won a Commonwealth medal in Wales for my club. And as a kid, I always looked up to him. I didn't really know anything about him. All I knew that was he got this medal and he was always training at my club. So I think you just need to set a good example, really, when you're on the mat and you're around those sort of people, like younger players, because you're a role model without even realising, really, so a lot of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's not something I give a lot of thought to, but I try to be professional and do the best I can and behave appropriately.
And this is something I kind of want to raise, because we've had, obviously, women athletes on this podcast before who have done what you determine combat sports, thinking kind of boxing and things like that. And I know there's still kind of a perception out there that women perhaps shouldn't be doing combat sports. I think Stacey Copeland, for example, had to deal with a lot of criticism coming her way, because boxing was deemed as a man's sport. Is that ever something you've had to deal with in your past?
I think, when I was younger, probably maybe 18 to 20, I was in quite a male-dominated environment, and I felt like there was a little bit of sexism on the coach's behalf at times. I felt like they didn't really believe that the women on the team could ever be as good as men. And you know what, from a physical point of view, we can't actually compete with a man of the same weight and size. You just can't. But it's a different sport, it's a different category, and I have dealt with coaches that have that view, but at where I am at the moment, I don't see that as an issue at all. I think the girls team in where I'm training is really strong at the moment, and I don't get any feeling of anybody saying, oh well, that's only because you're a girl, you're only doing well because you're a girl, or any of that sort of thing. So, in the performance centre I'm at the moment, I don't get that feeling at all.
Yeah. Is that something you see changing in society as well? Because I suppose there's this message that's being put across that strong is the new thing at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. The other thing in terms of judo, so the IGF, the International Judo Federation, they've now brought in a team event for the Olympics, which is a mixed team. So it's three women and three men. Whereas a lot of the countries, Eastern European countries, they have a really strong men's team. For Georgia, Russia, for example, they have a really strong men's team, but they don't have any women. So this new initiative now is making them have to develop women in all those weight categories. So you've got four or five countries that never produced any women that are now going to be doing that. So I think it's making gains across the board, really.
Okay. And because that's something I didn't actually know at all. Is that a real welcome move from your point of view?
I think that's really good news. It'll make things harder on the competition front, but for judo as a whole, I think that's brilliant news.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll just finish off by kind of using this moment to promote your sport a little bit more. And if there's a young girl who's listening to this, why would you recommend judo as a sport to them?
I think every day judo is just a new challenge. I don't think you can ever know everything about judo. You're constantly learning. Like as soon as you finish your career and become a coach, you're just constantly learning. And it's an enjoyable environment. You get to meet people. You travel the world. You get fit. It's a really enjoyable lifestyle. I definitely recommend anybody get involved.
Absolutely. And with that, we had better wrap up this interview. And I suppose I'll just finish off by wishing you the best of luck when the Europeans come around in, just a week and a half's time.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I hope everything goes well. And thanks so much for coming onto the podcast.
Cheers. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
A big thanks to Natalie for coming onto the podcast to chat, and we hope everyone enjoyed this episode. Before I go, I will just point you in the direction of our social media pages. As always, we're on Facebook, Instagram, and we're on Twitter. All of our handles are SportspielPod. And if you like what you've heard from us, you can always go to iTunes and leave us a nice review. It always helps people to find us. And you can also email us feedback. Our email address is sportspielpod@gmail.com. You can tune in tomorrow for our second special with Nakoda Smythe-Davis. And I promise it's another cracking interview. So until then, have fun, everyone. Bye-bye.